looking out on all to the future sons and daughters of God and say, I'd like to bring you greetings from New Zealand, particularly greetings from the brethren down there. We have a very small group, probably just about 30 people, but very dedicated, very loyal, and very much, I'm sure they'd be looking forward to hearing about everything that we have covered at the conference here. I must say that I've been to many conferences in the past. Can I speak up real loud? Yes, sir. But I've never come across a group of ministers who are more dedicated and loyal and friendly as we have here in the past. You know, no politics, no grumbling, no moaning, but just dedicated and service. And it's been a real privilege to be here for the very first time and just spend that time with them. Men, I'm sure that and their wives who serve you very faithfully and diligently, and that just comes through by talking to them. Is there anyone here from Eastern Ohio, sort of panhandle of West Virginia, Pittsburgh area? I always look forward to meeting people from there because we did work in that area from the period of 78 through to the late 1980s before we were called back to New Zealand. But it was a very short period of time, but a time in which we came to love many of the brethren and serve them, a very poor area of the country. But people that just, you know, really needed to be served by a servant. And I always look forward to meeting them. I have a number on my Facebook page, which I communicate with, and still very many, many fond memories of that. I don't often give a title to a message, but this morning what I like to call the subject is Battle Stations. Battle Stations. And a battle station this morning starts in 1 Peter chapter 9, where Peter is talking about our enemy. And we have an enemy, a very real enemy. But fortunately, we also have a frontiers man like none other, a pathfinder, a one who has blazed the trail for us. And it wasn't Boone, and it wasn't Simon Kenton. How many here know of Simon? Yeah, quite a few. I was really interested in the history of this part of the country, and I guess I've read that, and I always wanted to come back to that area and maybe even visit it, but that wasn't to be, except we're really close to that area. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 9, because we are under attack. We're under attack by a very powerful enemy, but we also have a very powerful being on our side. And so we really don't have to fear Satan the devil, who's also called Apollyon. Now, Apollyon means destroyer, and he wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy me. But he's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to win. 1 Peter 5, and in verse 5, it says, "In the same manner, you younger men be subject to the older men. And all of you be subject to one another." And that tells us a great deal. Because no one has the ability before God to put himself above his brother or above his sister. But he gives grace to the humble. And you know, that's our battle, the great battle. Bottom line is the vanity of Satan versus the humility of God. Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew 11? I'm not going to turn there, but he said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Now, if Jesus is that way, is the Father also that way? Of course. Meek and lowly. That's our trailblazer. He's the one that has set the path for us. And he's called us to walk in humility. And once we have been baptized and received the Spirit of God, there is no place for us to ever go back to the position that King Saul did when Samuel had to say to him, "When you were little in your own eyes." And I often joke and say that when God looked down, he had to look down amongst the penguins. Because I came from the southerly point in the South Island of New Zealand, where the next stop is with the penguins. And I always used to say that, you know, to call me, God looked in the bottom of the barrel and he couldn't find me. So what he did is he pushed the barrel over and looked under amongst the mollusks and the worms, and he actually did find me. You know, one of the worms, one of the mollusks. But that's the mind, that's the attitude we have to keep in mind. Never to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And humility, the mind of Christ, is the key to the kingdom of God. Vanity is the key to destruction. And we could go back into the history, into Ezekiel and Isaiah, and we could look how that Satan, this great being who was beautiful, worshiping God, throwing his throne before the throne of God, throwing his face on the ground and worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." But then he moved away from God. And what happened? Vanity, pride, was found in his mind. And so he deserved the name Satan and Apollyon, the destroyer. He destroyed God's way of life for 1/3 of the angels, and he wants to destroy it for us. Be humble, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you. You see, as we know, and like Paul, you know, we don't have any problem repeating these things to remind ourselves of what it is that God has called us to walk in humility before him. And the goal eventually is what? Immortality, a glorious body, which that would be tomorrow for those of us with health problems, personal problems, financial problems. But we're going to win because we have got on our side not only a trailblazer and a pathfinder, but one who has promised to do everything for us, providing we may remain humble before him, providing we submit to him and we depend on him for every step that we take as we follow the path through the forest. Oh, Satan's in the forest. What's he throwing at us? Fiery darts. Go back to Ephesians 6 and read the armor that we had put on to block those fiery darts. And the last place there, it talks about the sword of the word. And it talks about prayer. But I want to give you something else today that I think we too often neglect. It's something that God has given us that is a tool of great power. It's a mighty tool. And if I can't leave anything else with you, I'd like to leave you with that one point. So be humble therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. And that's not just, you know, from time to time. That's a daily process. Because Satan doesn't sleep. Neither do his band of filthy followers. Do you have the filthy mob here in the States? Gang members? We have them riding around all the time, I guess. And you want to stay clear of them. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God has given us all the tools we need, and we need to keep them sharp. Prayer, God's word, the sword of God's word, obedience, some of the main ones. Resist steadfast in the faith, and that's what we've been called to do. Now we know, it says in Ephesians, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Too often we see the individual. But we've got to keep in mind that it's Satan who is behind every attack, every fire dart that comes our way. Back in the book of John, the Apostle Paul says, and maybe a little diagram helps, he said, "I must decrease," and I think this is print for us, "while he increases." So Lyle Johnson has to decrease while Jesus Christ has to take more of a presence in my life. And in each one of us. And Jesus made the comment back in the 14th chapter of John, I believe it is, where he said, The ruler of this world is coming, but he has not one single thing in me. That's our goal. To come to the place where Satan has not one single thing in our minds or in our hearts. God has given us a weapon of mass destruction. We can find that in Matthew, the 17th chapter. And this is the key that I'd like to leave with you. What happened is that a man had gone to the disciples of Jesus Christ. His son had a demon. And he said, my son's insane. And he said, I went to your apostles and they tried to cast the demon out, but he wouldn't go out. And Jesus made this comment when his disciples asked, why is it that we could not? Because Jesus cast the demon out immediately. Verse 21. And here's the principle. Here is a mighty tool and a mighty weapon that God has given to each one of us, if we are prepared to use it. Jesus said, but this kind, and you can put this to the sins that so easily beset us, and sometimes we have to apply this principle not just once, but again and again and again until we have that mighty power of God to overcome that besetting sin or to cast out whatever it is that's troubling us. But this kind does not come out except with prayer and fasting. Jesus set the path of prayer and fasting and the word of God, how he defeated Satan time and time again. He used the sword of the Spirit. Just quickly over to Hebrews. I don't remember when I started, so I hope I'm not going to rob time from our next speaker. I decided to put little tags in my Bible, breaking off the main section so that it's a little easier to turn there. But in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, here is how our pathfinder, here is how our Savior overcame every obstacle. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and verse 6, where it said of him that you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears. And those are the times that are so important in our lives when we're really under a challenge. Strong crying and prayers. And you remember what happened the night before Christ died? His strong cries and tears turned into like blood was pouring down. He was so intense. And we have the same kind of problems. And he is there to support us with our trials and our problems, with the mighty power of God's Spirit. He's just waiting for us to really depend on him, to really submit to him. And he brings in all his powers and all the power of the holy angels to deliver us. Strong cryings and tears. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Do we suffer through following Christ? If we do, we can expect the support. And the final analysis of this is found in Romans, the 8th chapter, the glorious future that God has ahead for us. Romans, the 8th chapter. I come back to this chapter time and time again because it is so encouraging. Romans 8 and verse 17. Now if we are the children of God, or our children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. For I reckon that the suffering of this world, yes, that's hard, that's tough, but Paul, and we know how much Paul had to suffer, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself, the whole creation is waiting on you and on me. The vastness of the creation. And when God gives us that glory, we're going to shine individually more than any star that God has yet created. Because he's going to place us over the creation. Therefore, God is going to make us greater than the creation because we're going to be his sons and his daughters. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself is waiting the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation was subjected to vanity. God subjected us deliberately to the vanity of Satan. Not willingly, because he wanted us to choose his way of life. Satan turned his back on it. And that's the battle. Vanity versus humility. By reason of him who subjected in hope, because God knew that eventually many sons and daughters would be born into his family. in order that creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glorious children of God. Well, brethren, let's continue on that journey that God has called us to.